Today's scripture reading is from the book of Ephesians in the New Testament portion of your Bible, your pew Bible. That's page 194 in the New Testament, in the back portion of your Bible, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 24. Ephesians 4, verses 17 to 24. The old life and the new. Now this I affirm and insist on in the Lord. You must no longer live as the Gentiles live, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance and hardness of heart. They have lost all sensitivity and have abandoned themselves to licentiousness, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That is not the way you learned Christ. For surely you have heard about him, and you were taught in him, as truth is in Jesus. You were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lusts, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourselves with the new self, created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Almighty God, open the eyes of our heart that we would see your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. I borrowed a book this week, Gentlemen, A Timeless Fashion. I want to dress for success, and so this is going to help me. Any of you read a book like this? Any of you read magazines about fashion? Any of you read People magazine to see who's the best and the worst dressers of the year? Or maybe you use the internet. I just checked the internet the other day. What are the biggest fashion faux pas, the biggest mistakes men and women make? Well, number one for women is to follow the fashion media too closely. And then there was one about most women wear the wrong kind of undergarments, but I won't pursue that any further. But then when it comes to men, I was cut to the quick. The number one fashion blooper that men make is wearing socks with sandals. That's me. Second is wearing goofy ties or shirts or short sleeve shirts, because if you want authority and power, you need long sleeve shirts. We're so interested in fashion, presenting ourselves well. But how do we stay fashion conscious in a spiritual sense? The Apostle Paul uses the imagery of clothing and fashion when he says, take off the dirty old clothes, clean yourself up, and put on God's garments. It sounds so easy, but it's so hard to do. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Paul writes, now this I affirm and insist on in the Lord, you must no longer live as Gentiles live, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance and hardness of heart. They have lost all sensitivity and abandoned themselves to all sorts of sexual sins. Paul's writing to people in Ephesus. Ephesus was known as a moral cesspool. How many of you have been to Ephesus? You've been to the wonderful library? As the guide showed you the graffiti outside the library, the secret exit from the library, the entrance into the halls of prostitution. You know, the woman back then would have the husband say, I have to stay a little later. I'm going to the library to do some research. Well, he wasn't doing research. Ephesus was a place of very low moral values. And Paul says the Gentiles, the pagans, are behaving in a way that is a mess. What about us? I've told some of you I was back in my hometown of International Falls, Minnesota, 2 summers ago, and I ran into a guy in his 60s, and he looked at me and he said, are you an Anderson? And I said, yes. And he said, where do you live now? And I said, Hong Kong. And suddenly this 60-something-year-old guy was transformed to an 18-year-old American sailor, and he said, Wan Chai. So whether it's Wan Chai or Ephesus, there's a culture out there that's tempting us to act in a way counter to the way God would have us act. And it's a pretty grim analysis that Paul gives. They are futile in their minds. They are darkened in their understanding. Now, Martin Marty, the great theologian, says that Christianity gives us a salvation, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but it also gives us a perspective, a lens of at looking at the world to open our eyes to what's really out there. But there's a lot of people who have a very skewed perspective of what life is all about. They are alienated from the life of God. Now, what does it mean to be alienated from the life of God? To be spiritually dead because of their ignorance and hardness of heart. There's a callousness. They've lost all sensitivity and have abandoned themselves to licentiousness, greedy in every practice and every kind of impurity. There was an article published this week that has a very interesting thesis. It says that no time in history has more food or more sex been available to the average adult. And she goes on to make an interesting comparison. She said in 1950, there were rules about sex that more people followed than do today. There were very firm guidelines. But as far as food, whatever tasted good was fine. In 2009, she says, there are rules about food, right? They're taking junk food out of our schools. We watch red meat. We're very careful what we eat. They're very firm dietary rules. No plastic and eggs, that sort of thing. But sex, she says, has become a matter of taste. I don't want to be disloyal to my partner, but who am I to judge anyone else's behavior? And she says she's more worried about junk sex than junk food. I think she might have a point. You see, that's the way the pagans were living then, and if we're honest, are living now. And Paul says, no, don't live that way. He continues, that is not the way you learned Christ. Very interesting. For surely you have heard about him and were taught in him as truth is in Jesus. You were taught to put away your former life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lusts. Paul says Jesus is the truth. Jesus is life. We are to learn Christ, then look at our behavior and say, ooh, I must change. But it's hard to look at ourselves, isn't it? Did you hear about the guy who went to his doctor and he said, every time I look in the mirror, I get so ill that I want to throw up. And the doctor looked at him and said, at least you've got good eyesight. You know, but we delude ourselves. We bargain with ourselves and we don't face the plight that we are really in. And Paul says, until we do, until we realize we are wrong, until we try trying to justify our behavior and say, I'm wrong, we're not taking off those old garments. But Paul gives them and us the benefit of the doubt. You have learned Christ. And this is the only time he uses this phrase. But he says, you have been saved. You have repented. You have taken on Christ. So therefore, take off those old, filthy garments. I received an email from someone in the church. They said, you know, I know about Jesus, but it's academic. I want it to start in my heart and then come out into my life. I need to be more of a practicing Christian. What a wonderful, wonderful perspective. Here's a person who has let Jesus into his life. He has learned Jesus. But he's saying that sometimes what he knows in his head hasn't gone to his heart and into his actions. Paul says, in light of all that God has done for us in Christ, in light of this community called the church, in light of the fact that he's given us all special gifts, in a world that really needs us to shine out as followers of Jesus Christ, take off the old stuff. Don't have a mind that's confused and callous and a heart that's hardened. Well, this is what the Old Testament prophets were trying to get at. If you have your Bibles, Ezekiel 36, verse 24. I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when through you I display my holiness before their eyes. God wants to display his holiness through us. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and make you follow my statutes and be careful to observe my ordinances. God created us to be righteous and holy people. And we've fallen. But then he sent his son and we have learned Christ. We've accepted him as Lord and Savior, hopefully. But what then? How do we look at the world through the unique perspective that God gives us through his Spirit? How do we take off the old? Several years ago, I was at a mission trip in Romania, and someone in England said, how can I contribute to your mission trip? And I said, well, if you give us some money, we'll buy new shoes for every gypsy young person we're working with. So we bought 125 pair of beautiful white sneakers. And these kids were a ragtag bunch. And we gathered them all together in a room and we said, take off your shoes. That was a mistake. Woo! But then we gave them these new shoes and they put them on. And you know what the first thing they did? Not very environmentally correct. They took their old shoes and they ran out of the building and there was this big cliff and they threw their shoes over the cliff. Environmentally incorrect, but what a cool thing. We've got new clothes. We're getting rid of the old stuff. Not so easy for Christians to do. What Paul's hemming and hawing at here, he addresses in Romans, the issue that you and I address all the time. Jesus Christ has come into my life. I've accepted him as Lord and Savior. How come I'm still sinning? That's a hard one, isn't it? I've got this new life. I've got this new self. Why do I still cling to these old clothes? Paul talks about sin and the flesh, that just it's not us that's sinning, but sin is still present in our lives. It's a hard question for Paul. It's a hard question for each one of us. And so that's why Paul says, get rid of those old, smelly, out-of-date clothes. And then take a shower in the grace and mercy of God. Clean yourself up. And then put on Christ. Very interesting. Let's go back to the passage. Be renewed in the spirit of your minds and clothe yourself with the new self. What does it mean to be renewed in the spirit of your mind? We all know the passage from Romans. Let's turn to it, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren and sisters, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We are under such pressure to conform to the world around us, but Christ calls us to be renewed, to be transformed in our minds, and then let it seep out into a world that needs that message. But it's so hard. It is so hard not only not to sin, but it's hard to be transformed and to be renewed. Forgive me, it's the one really good story I know. It's about the Catholic guy in pre-Vatican times, when you could only have fish on Fridays. And his next door neighbors were a new couple, and they were Protestants, and every Friday the guy grilled steaks, big fat juicy steaks. And so the Catholic went to his priest and said, "What do I do? I want to sin and have meat on Friday." And the priest said, "The only thing you can do is convert this family to Catholicism." And so they went over and met their new neighbors, and they said, "Well, you know, we really aren't active in any church. We'll try it out." They went to the Sunday school. They liked it. They liked the worship service. And one of the proudest moments in this Catholic's life is when the whole family stood up in front of, in the Catholic church, and became Catholics. And the bishop was there with holy water saying, "You were born Catholics, you were raised Catholics, but you were born Protestants, you were raised Protestants, but now you are Catholics." Next Friday, the Catholic comes home from work, gets out of his car. What does he smell? Steak grilling. This cannot be. So he goes up to the boundary line, looks over the fence, and there's his formerly Protestant, now Catholic neighbor grilling an even bigger, juicier steak. But he's got a little bottle of water, and he's going, "You were born a cow, you were raised a cow, but now you are a fish." Thanks for laughing, even though I blow the joke, but you get the idea. Wouldn't it be nice if transformation were that easy? But it's not. Transformation, renewal of our minds, is a lifetime process. The Barna Group did an interesting survey. They said, "How many of you have ever met a holy person?" I'm going to ask you, how many of you have ever met someone you would say is holy? Not a lot of hands are going up, and not a lot of hands filled out the survey saying, "Yeah, we've met holy people." And then Barna asked, "How many of you would consider yourself holy?" And that was the even smaller group. What does it mean to be holy? What does it mean to be righteous? Plato, the Greek philosopher, said, righteous is in the way we treat each other. Holy is in the way we treat God. And I think that follows through in what Paul's saying. There's an ethical, moral dimension, how we treat each other, if we are just and righteous. And holy is the relationship we have with God. How blameless are we in the eyes of God? Well, the prophets and Paul say we are to be holy and blameless. We are to be representatives, visible representatives of what it means to be holy and righteous. And that takes time. Well, I read this survey, and then I know somebody who I consider pretty holy. Not a flashy person, but someone who's pretty holy. And so I went out this week and had coffee with this person. And I said, "I have to preach on holiness, and I'm not feeling particularly holy, but I view you as someone who has really got a holiness that I wish I had." And of course, this person has no pride, so they, "Oh no, don't, if you knew what I was really like, it's all Jesus and mercy and grace." Said, no, but how did you get to the way you are? And I was expecting the quickly turn the meat into fish answer. This guy spends an hour a day in prayer. An hour. Great. I was looking for the shortcut to holiness. He says he spends an hour a day in prayer, and he wishes he could spend more. And then he got really excited, and he's about my age, but he pulls out his iPod. And he says, I've got it, so I've got the Bible divided into 365 different, whatever you call them on an iPod. So he listens to the Bible as well as reads the Bible and as well as prays. He's sharing these spiritual disciplines, and he's just very excited, and I'm just sinking further and further down in my chair. And so my reluctant report to you is there's no quick answer to holiness, righteousness. It's a lifetime process. But Paul says, take off the filthy old stuff. Realize that you've been redeemed, you've been washed, you've been bought with a price. And then put on Jesus Christ. As individuals and as a congregation, we represent Jesus Christ. The righteousness and the holiness that people are longing for is present through God's Spirit in gifts that we have as individuals and as a congregation. I was away on a family holiday, so I missed this, but when I got back as a little boy, the talk of the neighborhood was Gary Roxon and his dog. Gary Roxon had a dog, and they went into the woods close to their house, and they encountered a skunk. Those of you who aren't from North America, do you know what a skunk is? Do you know what a skunk smells like? Well, this stupid Gary Roxon's dog got the skunk riled up, and the skunk sprayed not the dog, but my friend Gary. Now, Gary was crying and screaming. His eyes were stinging. He rushed home to his loving mother, and she did not welcome him with open arms. She went to not one but two grocery stores and got all the tomato juice she could find, because that's the only way to get rid of the stench, is to take a bath in tomato juice. Now, Gary had a really nice t-shirt on and a really nice pair of jeans. You know the jeans that just fit perfectly? While he was getting his bath of tomato juice, Gary's dad had come home from work and was burning his clothes in the back. And then he had to get new clothes. Why couldn't he have just worn the old clothes? Oh, sure, they smelled, but they were really comfortable. Why do we want to wear our old sins and vices? They may smell, they may not look good, but we're used to them. But Paul says, you've been sprayed by a skunk. Sin has ruined your old clothes. Get rid of them. Take a bath and get new clothes. Clothe yourself in Christ and go out and represent him to the world. That's what Paul's asking. That's how to dress for spiritual success. Let's stand for a closing song.